Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Rise.
To wake on up,
wake up
with a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh!
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
And a pop-up. And the ball game. Well, they just don't come easy.
They do not come easy, and for some reason, this feels like the biggest game of the year. They're down 5 runs in this ball game, and they looked as flat as a pancake. And all of a sudden, they brought 1 run, then 2 runs, then they take the lead. And the bullpen made it stand up. And for Randy Rodriguez, that's his first big league save. And that's not one we're going to forget anytime soon.
Yay! Oh, man. We needed that. We needed that badly. Giants come from behind 5-0, and they knock off the Padres 6-5 last night at Oracle Park. That highlight you just heard, of course, the great Crook and Kipe on NBC Sports Bay Area. Welcome in. It's the Morning Roast on a Thursday. Joe Shasky. I'm Mark Randy, in for Joe Spadoni. He'll be back tomorrow here on 95.7 The Game. Shasky, first of all, good morning. Great to be with you again. One hell of a win. They desperately, desperately needed that. And I think you and I, our sanity, we also desperately needed that.
There was multiple moments in this game that got me to jump out of bed like the Undertaker.
When was the last time a Giants team got you to jump out of bed?
Probably a couple of blown saves earlier this year. But no, like honestly, when Ramos ripped that ball down the line, and then got to second base and was like, yeah.
Let's up and go.
I was ready to like jump through the television and hug my guy. I was like, finally, somebody's showing some fire on this team. Oh, look, the playoffs are totally different.
You texted it right when it happened.
It reminded me of Pablo Sandoval getting to second base in whatever, the NLDS, NLCS, and then like, come on, let's go. I was so fired up. And that is one of those passing the torch type of moments for a young player to seize control, energy-wise, of the team. I'm not saying he's the best player. I'm not even here to say that he's the leader. And like that. But there are certain teams that you draw the energy from. We talk a lot about George Kittle, right? He is a great player. Mm. He might be their best player, the 49ers currently. They draw a lot of energy from him. Steph Curry, the team draws a lot of energy from him. Now, there are other people, like Draymond Green. They draw a lot of energy from him at times. I think that GP2, at times, the Warriors can draw that infectious energy from. Just the joy and the relentlessness. Elliot Ramos's energy yesterday was infectious. And you could feel it in the stadium. I could see it on the television. And I felt it in my heart. And, I mean, how about Buster's boys? The guys he brought in doing things yesterday. I did this for Jimmy. I'm going to do it again. Carter, get ready. Carter, look at me and look at me good, young man. In the words of Gary Radish. Buster.
Buster.
You got Johnson not only coming with multiple hits yesterday, the Vallejo boy making the play of the year defensively in triples alley.
Save the game.
Unbelievable. And then look, Adolph Smith making a couple plays at first base.
Hell of a diving catch.
Coming through right away to help this team win. And Randy Rodriguez in the ninth inning. Do we have a closer issue?
We'll talk about it.
Did Steiny just make an appearance?
Yeah, he did. A little bit of Steiny comes out.
That was the most fun I've had all year.
I mean, win of the year?
Down five?
Considering everything that was going on, like they've had, this is not their first five-run comeback, like from down five to win of the year, but considering what led to this game,
yes,
16 games without scoring more than four runs, 32 runs scored over a course of 16 games, and you get down 5-0 after four and a half innings. The Padres score three in the top of the fifth. It's a 5-0 game.
Yeah.
And what is every single Giants fan thinking in that moment? No chance they win.
Right.
No chance they win that game, and they find a way to win. Yeah, win of the year. The Ramos double. Hit of the year? Most important hit of the season?
Right now it is.
I mean, the Chapman homer in the sixth was really, really important, too. Get him within two. Get him, and they scored one in the sixth. That was by virtue of Daniel Johnson, who got on board with two outs. Then he scored after that on a double by Patrick Bailey, who's had a couple of doubles now in consecutive games. Chapman's hitting better lately as well. Last seven games, hitting over .400 with three doubles and two home runs. Ramos had, I mean, you had a lot of really, really big moments. And Kyle Harrison, who wasn't great, handed over to the bullpen, and the bullpen was amazing.
I thought Sean Gelly quietly had a great game.
He saved the game, too.
He really did. I mean, this is a guy that's kind of, you know, been out of sight, out of mind for a lot of Giants fans this year. He was good last year, I think, overall.
Yeah.
It faded at the end of the year, but I thought he was a pretty good player for them last year. Thought he was outstanding. And then, you know, Bob Melvin deserves a lot of credit. You know, yanking Walker. I wanted to start the inning with Randy Rodriguez. I'm not mad at him for going to Walker and keeping Randy Rodriguez in his back pocket. But, you know, I brought it up. I'll bring it up again. I watched this young man, Randy Rodriguez, and I remember about a year ago he came up, and we were all discussing. I'm like, dude, this guy's raw, but there's something there. Like, there's clearly something there. And the more and more I watch him, again, the name that I'm going to throw out there, and I don't say it flippantly, I really believe that he reminds me of K-Rod.
One of the greatest closers ever.
Hear me out, though.
I know.
I'm not saying that that's who he is. I'm talking about the mannerism with how he delivers his pitch. The leg kick for Frankie Rodriguez was much higher, right? He had more of the closer to a Juan Marichal high leg kick, but he contorts his body and has like a staggered start. And then it's the way the glove with the arm, and he kind of hides the ball with the glove out front, the chicken wing, as I like to call it. And he's got this wipe away breaking ball with that nasty, nasty fastball movement. He's an electric pitcher. And at his stature, like, I'm telling you, I get the same kind of vibes of a Frankie Rodriguez.
Well, let's set the stage. So Giants finally take the lead, right? First of all, the Ramos double ties the game. You have runners on second and third, one out.
Did you think he was getting that hit?
Ramos?
Yes.
Probably not. Maybe a sack fly. Maybe you get a run in.
But I mean,
I would not have predicted a game-tying double in that moment.
No.
Everything over the last almost 3 weeks would tell you no chance.
No chance.
Right? None at all. But he gets it. And then it's second. Tie game. Job's not done. Tie game. Runners on second and third, one out. You have to take advantage of that situation. Who knows if you're going to be in position again to score a run, right? You have to take advantage. And what has been maybe the Giants' biggest bugaboo during this stretch, particularly this series, the first two games of this series, runner on third, less than two outs.
Yep.
Do you get the run in? Obviously, the big hit, you've been missing that. But you just, productive outs, you win each of the first two games of this series. And they haven't been doing that. So Jung-Hoo Lee, after the Ramos double, runners on second and third, one out, tie game, just get a pitch to medium deep center, and you will take the lead and win this game. First pitch, he catches it middle of the plate, middle away, more middle than away, and he takes it out to medium deep, like right center, but more towards center field, and he gets the run, and Giants take the lead, and the bullpen makes it stand up. Obviously, the Ramos hit, hugely important.
Huge.
But Jung-Hoo Lee and the Giants finally taking advantage of a runner on third, less than two out situation, and scoring the run.
It
that
was,
hasn't happened.
I know. And it all started with a Willie Adames walk, Yep. Right. I think that was big for him. I thought he had a really good at bat, and there were a couple of pitches inside. You can see he does this like check swing thing. Yeah. And I'm like, bro, just get on base. This guy needs to get on base. I mean, he misplayed a ball defensively yesterday. There's a whole separate conversation about Willie defensively, but he needed that for his soul to start that rally. I mean, you know, if Daniel Johnson, if it's Encarnacion instead of Daniel Johnson, let's just say hypothetically in this at second base, maybe he doesn't score. Maybe on that ball down the line. I doubt it. I still think he does score if it's Encarnacion, but Johnson's got some legs.
Well, Encarnacion definitely does not make the catch in deep right center field in the top of the ninth inning.
100%.
Which saved the game.
100%.
That ball was crushed.
It really was. And, you know, Pat Bailey striking out on that pitch that I thought was awful. It was an awful strike three call. And he's arguing and losing his mind going back to the dugout. That whole sequence, that entire inning, it felt very September-like in terms of intensity, didn't it?
Yes.
It felt like the season was kind of not hanging on a thread. I don't want to get too flippant. It's June, but
they needed
that
win.
Momentum, you can't lose three straight to the Padres, given where you are in the division. And it felt like a multiple game moment, if that makes sense.
Adames leadoff walk, as you mentioned. Then Daniel Johnson, Vallejo kid, down 0-2, liner up the middle for a base hit. First and second, nobody out. Then the Bailey strikeout you're talking about, 2-2 changeup.
He's furious walking back to the dugout.
And away from the target. It was borderline. It was close.
Yeah.
But away from the target, that's generally probably called a ball more often than a strike. And then Fitzgerald, opposite field, line drive, base hit. It was trapped by Tatis, almost made a hell of a play.
And both
the
runners,
base running?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm glad you said this, because like in that situation, less than two outs, it's either I'm going halfway, and maybe I'm going back to retreat. I thought that both base runners got a good read on the ball and obviously had the speed to be able to get to where they were. How many times do you get stuck in no man's land on a play like that?
Oftentimes, you have a force out at second on that
exactly.
play.
Yep. And I thought that both base runners had great IQ. Again, last year, the year before, this was the worst base running team in baseball. So a situation like that, even though it drops for a base hit, it actually ends up being a fielder's choice because they throw to second base and get the force out.
Yep. So that loads the bases with one out for Elliot Ramos. And then he doubles on the left field line. Two runs score, sets up second and third with one out. Jung Hoo Lee, sack fly, Giants take the lead.
Give me the Ramos moment again. I got to hear it. Carter, cue me up. There's the crowd, the famous. You could feel the Bay Area in unison.
Exhale.
Oh, my God. And then when he got to second base and the camera panned on him and he was going to the dugout, I was so fired up for the young man. I was like, it's his coming of age moment.
Great call by Kipe.
I mean, the crowd, everything, it just encapsulated the moment. We were losing our minds. And then to see Ramos have that energy.
Let's bleep and go.
It's exactly
twice.
What we were talking about yesterday.
It was.
We were talking about it yesterday. And I'm going to tell you right now, I think Buster set the tone earlier in the day by making the moves that he did. You don't win this game without those moves. Now, look, we'll see how long Dom Smith sticks around. We'll see how long Johnson sticks around. You know, I'm rooting for both guys. I thought both guys were contributors last night to a great win. A great win. But you don't get that without the roster decisions that he made. And getting rid of a guy like Lamont Wade Jr., you know, when you're friends with someone, he admitted, I'm friends with the guy. Like, this isn't Dwight Clark trading away Joe Montana when he was the GM. This is not that. But it is difficult when you have a friendship.
And Lamont's 2021 season was out of this world.
Absolutely. But there's a personal element to this.
And Posey was on that team, which is why it became personal.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think him acknowledging that is why I love Buster Posey. Like, there's a human element to these decisions. Yeah. And I think too many times we were stuck. This is my guy. It's my guy. We got to stay with my guy. And we're going to hang on to my guys. And now it's like, hey, look, I acknowledge there's a human element when it comes to these decisions, but we got to move on. It's go time.
Yeah.
And to hear Buster say that, every Giants fan was like nodding and used like, like we need to win. Friendships be damned.
Shout out to all of you watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. And we're coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Coming off of a win like that, Shasky, there's maybe no one better to talk to a day after a game like that than the general manager of the Giants. Zach Manassian going to join us here on the Morning Roast at 8:30, so a little more than 2 hours away. We'll chat with the GM of the Giants. And, I mean, there's a lot of questions that we got to ask him, and we've already game-planned a little bit. But we're going to open this up to you guys as well. What do you want to hear us ask the GM of the Giants?
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to ask about Bryce Eldridge.
Yeah.
We're going to ask about Elliot Ramos. We're going to ask about all these guys. But 888-957-9570, what do you want us to ask the GM of the Giants?
I thought it was a big moment last night for Matt Chapman. He clearly needs to heat up, right?
And he is.
No, I know. But I'm saying this team's only going to go as far as the high-priced guys are willing to contribute. Would we agree? We could argue about the Daniel Johnsons and even Bryce, and we could argue about all of the other ancillary pieces, like even Jung-Hoo Lee to a lesser degree, I would put into the bucket of Adamas and Chapman.
Yeah.
We don't need them to be superstars. We just need them to do what they've done over the last couple of years. We're asking for back-of-the-baseball card production, right? Be around 240, 250, all right? Drive in runs, get on base, play good defense. We're not asking for 320 production. We're not asking for 40 home runs. Just do what you were signed to do.
Get the big hits.
And he did that last night. And then Jung-Hoo Lee, you know, it's not lost on me. Second and third, one out. You know, it's easier said than done with this
team
right now.
Do a job.
Yeah, and so I love, and then Ramos, oh my God, Ramos tagging up and almost getting thrown out on that play. Oh my God. Like, it was ballsy and I loved it, but if he gets thrown out on the base pass before Jung-Hoo Lee ends up scoring, wow. So,
yeah, that was, again, seventh inning.
Oh my
God. Tie game, second and third, one out. It's the Jung-Hoo Lee sack fly we're talking about. And fly ball to medium deep, right center, caught by Merrill in center. And
who's got a good arm?
And easily runner on third. Who was it on third? It was,
I believe it's on third is Fitzgerald.
Fitzgerald. So good speed. He's going to score. Yes. You know that no matter what. Yes. He's going to score. And from second, Ramos takes off.
My heart
takes off to go to third, and Merrill's throw goes towards third.
Uh-huh.
And you could hear it on the call crew. They're like, Ramos, he's got to get there! Because if he gets tagged out before Fitzgerald crosses the plate, you don't get that run, and it's a tie game.
It reminded me of Jim Barnett with I've said this a thousand times, Barron behind you! When, like, Barron's dribbling a ball, and here comes a guy behind him, and he's yelling to him, not only on the broadcast, but, like, from me to you, because he's sitting right there at the booth.
Barron!
Just,
look out!
This is why we love Crook and Kite. You know what I mean? Like, they're a part of this organization.
They needed that, too.
They
you
needed it
tell.
So bad. We all needed it so bad.
God.
You know who also needed it? Well, Kyle Harrison. Because I
offense picks somebody up for a change.
Absolutely. But not only, like, look, he's underwhelming, right? Like, we could just, we take a step back. At one point, he was supposed to be the savior of the starting rotation, right? You got to have young, dynamic arms. He was supposed to be a phenom. He's not that. He's not a terrible player, but he's not that. But I thought he pitched better than whatever the box score might look yesterday.
Yes, by a mile.
I were in agreement there. He needed to be let off the hook because I didn't want to come in today and be like, who's more disappointing, Luciano or Harrison? You know, like, what does this mean for prospects? This is why they never develop. Because it's a whole different conversation if they don't find a way to win that game yesterday.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, biggest win of the year? Yeah,
to me it is.
The Ramos hit, biggest hit of the year?
I feel like it woke up the fan base.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if they had lost, I mean, you and I are coming in today, and we're not talking about season over, blow this thing up, like, but
I was pretty
it's
tired.
Pretty dire. It's pretty dire.
Mark, I was thinking about, like, you know, what am I going to feel like? Numb. If they would have lost that game, like even 5-2 or 5-0, I would have felt numb. Like, oh, here we go, same old thing again. You know, and then look, like Bailey finally getting a rip, I was fired up for him.
Oh, he crushed that ball.
Yes, I mean, that's now multiple nights in a row where he's had some big contact. I'm really happy for him. I'm pulling for the guy. I want him to succeed. I want these guys to succeed. And again, if they lose that game yesterday, it's, Willie makes another mistake at short. Harrison. You know, all the little stuff starts to, you know, seep into it. And that's why winning cures all. And it gets people to start feeling good. And it all comes down to, and yes, Chapman had the big hit. But for Ramos to do that in that moment, it stamped that he's been the best player on this team all year. You know, I know Brian Palo Alto called in, you know, he's not that good. Brian, like, I'm sorry. I love you, B. No, I love BPA. And I'm not discrediting his fandom or how much he's tapped in. Ramos has been their best everyday player this year, and it's been by a lot. Yeah, he leaves a lot to be desired at times in terms of, you know, things that he's swinging at. His strikeout rate is high. He's been really good for this team. Where would they be without his emergence over the last 2 years?
Oh, yeah. It would be night and day difference. I mean, we think the offense is bad now. Imagine what the offense would be like the last year and a half without Ramos. He was an all-star last year, and a lot of us coming into the season weren't really sure what to expect. Was that the real Ramos?
Exactly.
Was it a flash in the pan? Is he going to be able to be that good? And he has answered the bell.
Can they develop players? Can it be sustainable? Like, all the questions we have about an organization, I feel like he's answering a lot of those questions. Not for everyone, but individually, it's a great story.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm so happy for Elliot Ramos.
And last night, not only did they get the big hit, the Chapman home run and the Ramos two-run double and all that, they also did all the small things, right? It's Jung-Hoo Lee multiple times on little, like, blooper thing hits, taking the extra 90, getting to second base. It's the Jung-Hoo Lee sack fly. It is Daniel Johnson, a bloop single in that was the fifth,
yes,
stealing second base, getting the extra 90 there, and that allows him to score on the Patrick Bailey hit. There's all of the small things that they're doing now. It is Bob Melvin being willing to say, all right, Ryan, you don't got it in the ninth inning. After three batters, I'm pulling you. I'm pulling you. And Randy Rodriguez comes in, three pitch, see you later, to Jackson Merrill.
Unbelievable.
And then a pop out to end the game. Like, the Giants got the big hits that they have been waiting for, but they also did a lot of the small things that they haven't been doing of late either.
And they made plays. Tyler Rogers makes a play.
My God, that
funky play. I mean, that's a big play,
though. His knee buckled. I thought he might have. I mean, jeez.
We'll talk about the other side, but everybody, I mean, Jung-Hoo Lee sliding catch to center field. It's a hell of a play.
And there were a lot of those throughout the course of this game. All right, it's time for a break. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Safeway. We're going to hear what Buster Posey said yesterday, because I'm with you, Shasky. The Ramos half of this is one thing. He fired up the team in-game, but did Buster fire up the team leading into the game? And is that something that you can look to the front office to do for this baseball team? We'll get into that and a whole lot more. Plus, again, Giants general manager Zach Manassian joins us in 2 hours at 8:30 on the River Islands guest. I'm looking forward to that. We got plenty more to get to. It's the Morning Row. Shasky and Grandy with you. More next on 95.7 The Game.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Buster Posey and the Giants designated him for assignment yesterday before the game. And Lamont Wade, I mean, it was maybe just 1 year of, like, greatness, amazingness, but that 2021 season, late night Lamont, all of the clutch home runs and hits he had in like the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th innings, it was, he might have been like reason number one why that season was so special because of all the late game heroics, and so much of it was Lamont Wade Jr.
No doubt. There's no doubt about it. And what it signifies is like kind of a turning of the page, and it's no disrespect of Lamont, but like, you referenced kind of like the dumpster diving aspect of Farhan in terms of roster construction. Yeah. Guys like Mike Yastrzemski, guys like Lamont Wade Jr., Donovan Solano or Tyro Estrada, I think those guys didn't just represent themselves. They represented the larger picture of how Giants fans viewed how they put together the roster. And Lamont was a great story. Darren Ruff, another name that I'm just thinking of who was great in 2021. Lamont was a great story, and it was like, oh, my God, they found this guy out of nowhere? Why wasn't he playing for the – I think it was the Twins.
Yeah.
Why wasn't he playing? What's going on? And then, like, I take a step back, and, you know, I know that in this society, anytime you bring up the racial element, people kind of lose their minds, right? And I want you to understand what I'm saying here. I grew up playing baseball. I was one of the couple of white boys on a pretty much all black and Latin team, St. Mary's Park Giants. And so that's what I grew up playing ball. And all my favorite players were, you know, Dave Stewart and Ken Griffey Jr. and Barry Bonds and Kevin Mitchell. There were a lot of African-American representation. And on the Giants for a long time, there wasn't a lot of African-American representation. And so not only was the Lamont story a great story, but as somebody that coaches baseball, and I go to all these travel tournaments, there's just a lack of inner city or anywhere suburban, you know, African-American involvement. There's not a lot of kids playing baseball. And so I do think as a guy who was playing baseball, coaching baseball, seeing a bunch of kids on my team who look like Lamont Wade Jr., I thought that was great for them. You know what I mean? Like, just as I take a step back, you know, I'm a big believer in, like, you know, the kids got to have heroes that they root for, both white and black, both Latin, Asian American, or whatever it is, you know? And it was cool. His story was really, really, really cool.
Amazing story.
And I was rooting for him. And, you know, like, obviously, this is about baseball. You know, are you good enough, right?
But 2021, he was.
He was amazing. He was amazing. And, you know, the pumpkin, the glass slipper turned back into a pumpkin, if you will. And he's kind of reverted back, and he's not a great ball player right now. And they had to move on. But what he represented for 2021, what he represented for that team, the moments that he had, they're going to live on forever. And it's a great story. And it sucks it has to end this way, but that's business. That's baseball. You know, we move on. They bring in, you know, Dom Smith. He makes a couple of plays last night. And we kind of go from here. But it's sad that his time is over. But it's also, you know, you got to produce.
It was time.
Yeah.
It was time. There's no doubt. And we can rightly and accurately describe what he meant to the Giants. And specifically in 2021, he had good moments other years as well.
But absolutely.
Specifically 2021. And we can also freely admit that he was nowhere near good enough this year. And if the Giants are trying to win baseball games, then they couldn't possibly, in good conscience, keep trotting him out there at first base.
Exactly.
And both of those things can be true. And I think both those things are definitely true.
Absolutely. Well, look, watch the at-bats. They're not great, right? And then, like, what else are you bringing to the table? Well, he's an okay defender. I'd say, you know, yeah, okay defender.
Not terrible by any stretch.
Not terrible, no. But he really can only play first base. He's not an outfielder. I mean, they tried him in the outfield. It didn't work well. He's not a base runner.
He definitely can't play outfield now because he can't move.
No, but his arm wasn't great. He can't steal. He can't go first to third. He can't move. And on a team with not a lot
can't
of
tag up
elite athletes, yeah, like I'm thinking about last night, like the hit down line. Is he scoring from second on that hit from Ramos? I don't know. Like, I'm just asking out loud. I don't know.
Well, from second he's scoring. Is he scoring from first?
He's pretty slow, dude. Him and Wilmer, I mean, he's pretty bad.
A double down the left field line, he's scoring from second.
I'm just saying.
But from first, no.
Okay. I mean, again, I've watched him not move really well on the base pass.
I'm with you.
So he's not bringing a lot to the table, right? He was getting walks for a long time. OBP was a big part of his game. But the batting average and the loud contact and clearly no power, not driving the ball, he wasn't bringing enough to the table. And obviously, there's a relationship between him and Buster going back to 2021. And I appreciate Buster not skating it. Like, hey, look, I know the guy. So look, you can play the sound right now.
Yeah, yeah. Here it is. Buster Posey on the decision to DFA, designate Lamont Wade Jr. for assignment.
That was a difficult decision. I mean, I think one of the trickier things for me is there's still guys on the team that I played with. So had a different relationship with them as a player than I do now, but still consider Lamont a buddy, you know, so it's not, wasn't easy, an easy thing to do, but we got to get some offense going, and Smith's been swinging the bat well this last month. Hopefully he can provide a spark, Johnson, Pisner, and then for Lamont, you know, my hope is that he lands somewhere and gets going and continues his career.
You know, there's an element over the last couple of years before Buster got here where I just felt they lacked the human touch.
Yep.
I think about Casey Schmidt breakout in spring training and then all of the wild roster moves that they made before game one in Yankee Stadium. It felt very heartless. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The way that they were, like, conducting business.
It was emotionally ruthless.
Like, yes.
Just no regard for anyone's emotions.
The way I treat my fantasy football roster at the bottom, that's how it felt. Farhan felt
like last year, right? It was Hayden Birdsong who debuts, has a great outing, and then the Giants are in LA at Dodger Stadium versus the Dodgers next series. And in order to save one roster spot and get you one at bat, they send him back down so he can't even be with the team at Dodger Stadium. And they bring him right back up after for his next start. Like, he did not miss a turn in the rotation, but you send him down to get the last guy on the bench one at bat in LA or whatever it was.
I mean, like, look. The Tom Murphy thing with Joey Bart, right? Like, had to get rid of Joey Bart so I could bring in Tom Murphy. Like, there were all these odd, peculiar moves that felt very, I would also say, ego-driven. Hey, this is my guy. This guy isn't my guy. I'm going to stick with my guy stubbornly.
And it always came from a spot of, I mean, and this is Farhan, and we're going to talk a lot about Buster coming up, but Farhan always felt like the air of, like, superiority, mm-hmm. like, I'm smarter, this is going to play out it's in the long run.
Data-driven. Whereas, yeah. What did Buster say? We're looking for a spark. That's what guys in the dugout say. Hey, guys, let's go. We need a spark here. Like, there's a human element to that. And I think someone who played the game as long as he did, being in the dugout like Buster, sometimes you just got to shake it up. And the data maybe doesn't even support the move that you're trying to make.
Yeah.
You know, but you just need to see something different.
Trust your gut, your instincts,
yes,
a little bit.
I appreciate fresh perspective from Buster.
Yeah, and I mean, you and I spent a lot of the show yesterday talking about you just need somebody to ignite something in this team.
It clearly worked.
Whether it was a player,
yep.
Whether it's Bo Mel, you and I didn't really necessarily think it could be somebody in the front office. We didn't bring that up.
No.
But, I mean, the decision that Buster made to DFA Lamont Wade Jr. and others, Christian Goss is gone, and Sam Huff is gone, right? And then what he said before the game, like, it's go time. It's time to go. We know we're better than we've been the last couple of weeks, but it is time to go. We've got to hit more. I mean, was that a major oversight by us? Buster Posey, the guy to ignite something? We can get into it in a minute. But
yeah, I do kind of want to get into that because, like, I think about the 49ers, like, as we go cross-sport analogies here, when you go to practice and John Lynch walks onto that field, you're like, a lot of this team takes their cues from John Lynch's intensity. Like, not that Kyle's not brilliant X's and O's, but you're not feeding off of his intensity, right? That's what I kind of missed with Robert Saleh not being there or D'Amico not being there.
Yeah.
The last couple of years was that fiery sideline guy. And when you're at practice, John Lynch just, he's so super laser focused and so dead serious. It looks like he wants to run through someone's soul. I do believe parts of the team take on his personality. And I see it now from Buster, where you can see him there, like, we're looking for a spark.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't shy away from it. And even though I view him as kind of vanilla, you know, Buster, oh, no, he's dead serious. And I do think that they're now kind of taking on some of that personality. It's a great angle.
Yeah, and he also demands respect because he's one of the greatest catchers to have ever played the game of baseball and one of the greatest Giants
absolutely.
Ever.
So, absolutely. Yeah. Great right. point.
What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Safeway. It is exactly that. Did Buster Posey light a fire under this team? And is this going to be the turning point for the Giants season? We can get into that. Coming up tonight at 7 o'clock, the Valkyries take on the Phoenix Mercury, and you can hear the game on 95.7 The Game and the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Kevin Dana and Sophia Jones will have the call, and you can watch the games on KPIX+. Pre-game starts at 6:30. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. We'll hear from Buster Posey next here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Askey, one hell of a win for the Giants. They came from down 5-0 and they win 6-5. They snap a 2-game losing streak. They get their first win since September of last year versus the Padres. They had lost 7 consecutive games to the Padres. But leading up to that game, we had maybe the biggest single decision Buster Posey has made other than signing Willy Adames. Since he became president of baseball operations, he designated for assignment Lamont Wade Jr. Also, Sam Huff, the backup catcher. He also sent Christian Kost back down, brought in a couple of new players who impacted the game yesterday in Smith and Johnson. But maybe more important was what he said explaining those moves, because it seems to have changed something within the Giants clubhouse.
Yeah, and like, there's no doubt, like, I'm a big believer in momentum. Not necessarily carrying over from day to day or whatever, but in baseball, it's so infectious when it comes to being in a slump or being super hot. And it is ironic how one guy will go into a funk and it feels like 3, 4, 5 guys go into a funk all at one time. And for them to dig themselves out of this funk that they were in, you could say, Joe, it's one meaningless game in the middle of June. No. That felt like multiple wins. And there are certain games that feel bigger than the actual one game that it stands for in the standings. And that was one of those ones.
Absolutely.
For me.
Absolutely.
Elliot Ramos feeling great. Jung-Hoo Lee feeling great. Matt Chapman feeling great after that one. Kyle Harrison has got to be feeling great. Even though the outing wasn't the greatest and he took one off the elbow and had to come out of the game. Like, the difference between, hey, I got a no decision, and, God, I lost another one, I'm probably going out to the bullpen. Like, Psychologically,
when Verlander comes back.
Exactly. Psychologically, there is something there. Randy Rodriguez feeling great about himself.
First ever save.
Sean Gelly feeling great about himself. The two new guys, Dom Smith and Johnson, feeling good about themselves. And then, like, these decisions in a vacuum. Is this player and that player? But what does it also mean for some of the other guys that are in AAA? And the more and more I've marinated on it, and I know you want to play some Buster Sound, I want to get into it. I'm thinking, like, well, I think Matos is probably not for this organization long term, right? And they're gonna try to turn the wheel. But now you bring in an outfielder with some speed, little versatility. You know, now Matos is even farther down on the pecking order, right? I look at the first base situation. They don't really have anything in AAA at first base other than Bryce Eldridge.
So say, well, they do now at AAA.
And they're trying Luciano there.
He had a hit and two walks yesterday in his debut in AAA this year.
Trust me, my eyes are on it. and then, like, you know, they got Luciano down there playing fourth outfielder, playing first base. Like, to me, he feels like he's on, you know, the cusp of being out the door. Who knows what they do with the pitching staff? The point that I'm going at is, I think this is the first shakeup of what will be. This is just my gut feeling. I'm speculating just based off of how I think that they're thinking. A big trade is coming.
Whoa.
I really feel that way.
Buster did and said leads you to that?
Yeah. Play some of the Buster stuff, and you tell me if this doesn't sound like a guy who's got something in the back pocket.
Here's Buster in the dugout pregame yesterday after the Giants moved, which again featured Lamont Wade Jr. designated for assignment, among others. Yeah, here's Buster on the message of these moves. What message is he trying to get across to the team?
Yeah, I mean, it's time to go. I mean, I think we all believe that we're better than what we've been with the bats the last 2.5-3 weeks, and it's time to go.
It's time to go. Buster says it in like a calm, kind of monotone way, but there's a lot there.
Yeah.
That fires me up.
When he says it's time to go, that means basically like, yeah, we're trying to go for the playoffs. Like, this is exactly what I wanted to hear as a Giants fan. And also, I'm thinking to myself, all right, time to go. So that means, like, the Wade Meckler, Grant McCrary, Luis Matos. No, I'm just naming who's in AAA right now. Like, they have a logjam. Hunter Bishop, Marco Luciano. There's not enough spots for all those guys that you've been kind of hoarding when it comes to the draft picks for so long. A move's coming. Something. Now, is it going to be big enough to, like, shake the world and make Giants fans feel like they have a legitimate chance? I don't know. That to be determined. But I'm telling you, something's coming. Something's on the horizon. A guy like Reggie Crawford, for example, you know, two-way player. Yeah. Now he's only going to be an outfielder or whatever, infield. I guess they're going to put him at first base. Like, where does he fit into their long-term thinking? You know, they've got now Birdsong, Harrison, Wisenhunt. They've got ammunition is what I'm getting at. And when I hear time to go, not only is it like big league team, time to play better. You know, Adamas, let's go. You know, Chapman, let's go. Jung Woo Lee, let's go. It's also like all you young guys. And again, I'm going to read off who is in AAA right now. Reggie Crawford, Brett Wisely, Hunter Bishop, Luciano, Matos, McCray, and Wet Meckler. Not all of you are going to make it to the big spot in San Francisco. And I just, there's too many youngsters down there who could be traded. I'm not even saying they're getting you, you know, some all-star level player.
Jordan Alvarez, right? Yeah.
Something is brewing. Something's brewing. Mark my words.
It's also a message to everybody else on the team, and you're labeling or you're pointing out a bunch of guys at AAA who might be the ammunition for a trade for a proven guy now, but it's also like guys on the big league club now who have maybe been around for a while but are underperforming. If you keep underperforming, your relationship with me ain't going to save you.
Mike Yastrzemski, you think?
I mean, I think he's good enough to be a fourth outfielder for
Agreed.
Them anyway.
Agreed.
But it's also a message to Yaz, like, hey, you got to start hitting, otherwise we might try to find your replacement or promote your replacement.
Now we're talking, you know, now we're talking. I think it goes to a lot of guys on the roster right now, whether it's the newly acquired guys. I also think it's a shot to the veterans. Like, hey, guys, it's freaking June. Let's go, Willie. Like, pick it up, dude. Let's go. And that's why I think that that walk that he had to kind of start that inning.
Yeah.
I know it's Guillermo Joe. It's just a walk. No, right now, Willy Adames needs to cling to any little bit of positivity that he can find, and he's a roll with it. One thing that I've noticed with Willy, he made the error yesterday on that ball up the middle. He just took his eyes off it. It's inexcusable. But one thing he does really well, because you're going to hear a lot of people ripping him and whatever, coming across the bag as a double play shortstop. Mm. So, meaning the feed is coming from either the first baseman or the second baseman, and I'm going to come off that back corner of the bag that's pointed towards center field. There's an art to, some guys can get away with what I call the Mahomes body mechanics. I can throw from any slot, any angle. I'm just such an athlete. I can get away with it. A guy like Willie can't get away with it, right? He's just not gifted physically like that. And very few guys are. O'Neal Cruz, when he was playing shortstop, would do it. Ellie does it, where he's just throwing from all crazy angles. Willie is so good at not only squaring up to who's throwing him the ball off that back bag, but then taking that runner who's barreling down on him, which I know it's not the 1980s where they can blow your knee off, but guys are still coming in hard, okay, to break up to, and then turn his feet and square his body up to get all of his muscle in on a throw to first base. I want you to focus. Every time he turns two, even if he doesn't get it, watch how quickly he does it. That is one element defensively that I love from him. The range is a little suspect. Sometimes I think the hands are a little suspect.
The arm. Sometimes
the arm can be suspect.
Accuracy or strength.
To me, arm, like accuracy and power, they kind of go hand in hand. You can't have a great arm and be inaccurate.
Yeah.
Now you're just wild. You know what I mean? So, yes, you're right. But in terms of turning two, I think he's really good at that.
We got so used to watching Crawford do that, like, and he could do it in his sleep. He would do like a little toe tap where he wouldn't even step on the bag. He'd just like kick it as he went by.
Mark his feet. Like I reference him at practice probably two or three times a practice. I've studied all of his pregame rituals about how he fields and whatnot. If you watch that left foot, every single time it's pointed up and toward the base that he's going to throw to, his fundamentals, they weren't perfect. Yeah. They were flawless.
He is the best.
He's one of the greatest defensive shortstops that you could study. And he's not the greatest athlete, but his feet were so good and his hands were so good and he practiced all the little stuff so well. He was never out of position. And then he understood how, and you want to talk about a great arm, but part of what made his arm so great, like Tom Brady, he had flawless mechanics.
No doubt.
Right?
Yeah.
He wasn't absolutely a Mahomes thrower. You know what I'm going when I go Mahomes thrower versus like a Brady thrower?
Yeah.
You know, Brady had a great arm, too. No one talks about it, but his mechanics were flawless.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app when we're coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Also, a reminder, in an hour and a half at 8:30, Zach Manassian, GM of the San Francisco Giants, joins us here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game on the River Islands guest line.
Yay!
Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Of course, Zach Manassian, his partner in the front office for the Giants, is Buster Posey. Here's more Posey yesterday pregame in the dugout on the moves that he made, again, namely designating Lamont Wade Jr. for assignment. Buster, do you expect these moves to ignite something in the clubhouse? Here's Buster.
As much as anything, it's you're trying to ignite something, I think. That was another one. I mean, cost, too. They're not easy decisions, but we're just trying to provide a little bit more offense and have some versatility, whether it's more bats when these players are starting or coming off the bench, that just gives us a little bit more offensive upside right now.
I think this decision from Buster, or just Buster in general being the president of baseball operations, it just gives the Giants a dynamic that they never could have possibly had with Farhan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.